All right. Podcast ain't going to record itself. Here we go. The wall ain't going to hit itself, girls. You've got to get out there and you've got to splatter right into it. The wall cannot do all the work on its own. You have got to girl boss yourself right on into that wall. You've got to double productivity and fucking you go girl on your fish bicycle right into that fucking wall. Just splat right into the fucking thing, girls. You can do it. You can do it. Still, she will persist. Ah, girls. I'm so thankful that you women have entered the workforce and doubled productivity. I mean, if it wasn't for women, how would we keep those airplanes in the air? You can scream and shout with all your might. Hi, you can scream, shout, why, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space, this ain't it. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinions up your ass, though Biden's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, my anogenital distance is longer than yours, motherfuckers. You know why? Because I got testosterone. You know who doesn't have testosterone?
Women! Women!
Yes, my friends and my enemies. Ah, oh, yes, it is the great one himself. The crowd goes wild. They go wild. Wild. It's crowds gone wild as the girls throw their underwear and the men throw their money. Yes, that's right. Give your money to my OnlyMans account. Right over OnlyMans.com. Great one himself. Founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. On the internet since 1999. Podcasting for 18 years. Who is right. Who is always right. Who has always been right. Who has never been wrong. Yes. Who's your motherfucking daddy? Not people who smoke dope because their sperm count goes down. Oh, yeah. Looks like somebody else got in there before he did. Oh, mandatory paternity testing. Something we'll never have in the United States. Because, oh, that would put a lot of women into a lot of trouble. All right, speaking of women in trouble, let's get back to this. We are on page 101 of the book, Countdown. How our modern world is threatening sperm counts, altering male and female reproductive development, and imperiling the future of the human race, by Shauna H. Swan, who is a dumb, 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 dumb bitch. Not as dumb as Lauren Southern, but still a mighty dumb bitch. Among the biggest potential lifestyle-related threats to a woman's reproductive health is the triple whammy of tattoos, piercings, and multicolored hair. No, although that's another triple whammy that's going to stop women from reproducing. A woman's reproductive health is the... It's funny, but it's not funny. Like the complete unattractiveness of the modern female. It's funny and it's not funny at the same time. That's a whole different topic I really need to talk about one day, because I got a lot to say about that. All right. The triple whammy of wait, what? Hold on. I'm just now... This is even stupider than I thought it was. My brain hurts right now. Okay. Among the biggest potential lifestyle-related threats to a woman's reproductive health is the triple whammy of eating too little, exercising too much, and having menstrual irregularities. Guys, do you know any women that eat too little and exercise too much? All right, now I know why I made a note for me to read and talk about this paragraph. What is this woman fucking talking about? I'm not misreading this. She's writing this with a straight face. Eating too little and exercising too much. This is what, 0.001% of the female population? How are women this stupid? I understand their brains are different than ours. I understand they have more estrogen. I understand they don't know where the vagina is. At least 45% of them don't. How are they this stupid? I can't believe that someone wrote this sentence and think that, like, I don't even know how to respond. This is what, it's so stupid. I don't even know how to respond to this. There's all these women out there eating too little and exercising too much. This is the biggest, this is among the biggest lifestyle-related threats to a woman's reproductive health, is eating too little and exercising too much. This is a big deal for several reasons. Chief among them, if a woman doesn't have periods or has highly irregular menstrual cycles, the level of estrogen in her body may be lowered significantly. Oh, in which case she might actually become relatively sane. Naturally, this is a problem if she wants to have a healthy pregnancy. But the low estrogen also causes her to lose bone density and strength, which can put her at risk for stress fractures and osteoporosis. The combination of disordered eating, you mean like being fat, including full-blown eating disorders, subclinical ones, and excessive exercise. So eating disorders, according to Shanna, whatever the fuck this whore's name is, eating disorders includes not eating enough, but being a fat cow is not a problem. I mean, as we've been reading this book, have we said anything here about being too fat to reproduce? I don't remember that. From what I remember of having, I've read the book all the way through, I don't remember anything in here about fat. Maybe it's there and I forgot. That's why I have notes about what to go back and read. Eating too little and exercising too much. This is just like when I'm on the internet. I'm looking at something. Is this satire? Or is this serious? I can't figure it out. I can't tell the difference anymore. So this is the thing with this book. I can be pretty sure that's not satire. I am 99% certain that she's serious, that she thinks that there's this great threat to women of eating too little and exercising too much. If I saw this on the internet, I'd be like, oh, that's definitely satire. The combination of disordered eating, including full-blown eating disorders, subclinical ones, and excessive exercise, menstrual dysfunction, and low bone density can lead to what's called the female athlete triad. While any physically active woman can develop one or more parts of the triad at any age, any physically active woman. So what, women are supposed to like do nothing? I mean, they're kind of already doing that, but those at greatest risk include women who participate in physical activities that place a premium on appearance. Participate in physical activities that place a premium on appearance. You mean like putting makeup all over your face and wearing high heel shoes and putting on skanky clothes and then going to a bar and getting drunk and taking selfies of yourself and getting fucked in the bathroom by some criminal with tattoos? What the fuck are you talking about? Participate in physical activities that place a premium on appearance or that prize endurance. In the aesthetic, oh, we're about to find out. In the aesthetic category, so see, wow, this is, oh my God, this is fascinating. In the aesthetic category, these are the things that are bad for you girls, okay? These are the things that are a danger to your reproductive system. In the aesthetic category are cheerleading, dance, figure skating, and gymnastics. In other words, four sports, four competitions, four fields, whatever you want to call them, where men expect to find attractive girls. Cheerleaders, general attractive. Dancers, attractive. Figure skaters, thin, attractive. Gymnastics, thin, attractive. There's no fucking whales in any of these things. Except, well, cheerleaders actually dance. Okay, but they're more whale-free than the rest of society. And in the latter, sports such as distance running or rowing. So girls, don't be a cheerleader. Don't do dance. Don't figure skate. Don't do gymnastics. It's dangerous to your reproductive system. Now, you could be a fucking diabetic whale, and that's fine. Some of you are going, great one. You know, the gymnastics actually does fuck up women's reproductive systems. Thanks, guys. I knew that. I'd rather have a thin, attractive woman who can't make a baby than a fat one. Aside from that, what percent of the population, what percentage of women are cheerleaders, dancers, figure skaters, and gymnasts? Now, of the general population, what percentage of women are fat? If you have a small percentage of your population of women who are gymnasts and make themselves sterile, this is less of a problem than when you have 60% of the population, which are fat diabetics and have made themselves sterile. But you see, women hate other women. So Shauna, she sees cheerleaders and dancers and figure skaters and gymnasts, and those women are all thinner than she is. They're younger than she is. They're prettier than she is. They are more desired by men than she is. And thus, she hates them. This is why women cannot be scientists. Page 104. The hell's my water bottle? Page 104, first full paragraph. Meanwhile, some compelling evidence links high levels of psychological stress to an increased risk of miscarriage, particularly recurrent miscarriage, although this association isn't clear-cut either. In fact, when researchers from the Naval Health Research Center in San Diego examined whether the military experiences of U.S. service women who were deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan increased their chances of having a miscarriage or impaired fertility upon their return, they found that military deployment, an intensely stressful experience if there ever was one, right, because when women go to Afghanistan and sit around in air-conditioned buildings, that's really stressful. Okay, they found that military deployment did not increase the risk for miscarriage or fertility problems. This is encouraging news for civilian women who are stressed out and want to get pregnant. Being a woman in the military is not stressful. The entire military is geared towards kissing your ass. These women were not in combat, right? None of these women were out there with Terrence Pop getting shot at and, you know, dragging your wounded friends to safety as they're fucking bleeding all over you. page 105, last two full paragraphs. At every age, women are twice as likely to take antidepressants as men. Yes, because they're fucking insane and they can't even regulate their own goddamn emotion. I'm bipolar. I've already done this routine multiple times. Men call it having emotions. Sometimes you're happy. Sometimes you're sad. Sometimes you're neither one. Sometimes you're just like resigned to doing things. And then maybe you're, happy. And then you think about something. Oh, I'm really happy. And then you think somehow, oh man, I remember my dog died. It's called having emotions. It's something humans do. Even Jews do it. Humans and Jews both have emotions. It's not that big of a fucking deal. But women, oh my God, I had an emotion. I need to be medicated. How can I get attention for this? Everybody, I'm bipolar. I need special accommodations in the workplace. At every age, women are twice as likely to take antidepressants as men. And the use of these medications increased 64% from 1999 to 2014 for both genders. What do you mean both genders? That's very transphobic. That's also, what do you call it when you're non-binary phobic? Is there a word for that yet? And are you detecting a pattern? Yes, sweetheart, we've detected a pattern a long time ago. It's you as a woman that can't detect the fucking pattern. She's actually asking in the book, are you detecting a pattern? Question mark. This is the same fucking bitch who thinks that all these non-binary people whose gingers are fucked up due to chemicals is a good thing because it helps us create a brave new world of non-discrimination. This fucking stupid goddamn whore is actually asking you, the reader of this book, if you're detecting a pattern. This bitch couldn't find a goddamn pattern if you shoved it up her twat. And are you detecting a pattern? The use of SSRIs, which are prescribed primarily for depression or anxiety. No, they're prescribed so that the pharmaceutical corporations can make money, you stupid bitch. Once again, until we start calling things what they are, we're not going to make any progress. They are not prescribed for depression or anxiety. That's not what they're prescribed there. They're prescribed so that Pfizer can make money. That's why I bought stock in Pfizer. Because women are not going to stop being insane. I could just knock heads together. The use of SSRIs, which are prescribed primarily for depression or anxiety, reduces sperm concentration and mobility and motility and increases the percentage of abnormal sperm. It's almost as if you're not supposed to be dumping a bunch of chemicals that were made in a laboratory into your body. I mean, it's almost as if. For women trying to conceive, some evidence suggests that taking antidepressants may reduce the possibility of success in a given menstrual cycle by 25%. What's more, concern is mounting about drug-induced amenorrhea, menstrual irregularities that are brought on by the use of antidepressants. Wow, it's almost as if you're not supposed to be dumping a bunch of chemicals from a laboratory into your body. I mean, almost as if, right? As well as antipsychotic and anti-seizure drugs. I mean, almost as if you're not supposed to be putting a bunch of chemicals from a laboratory into your body. Almost as if humans didn't evolve taking antidepressants, antipsychotics, and anti-seizure drugs. I mean, almost as if natural selection and evolution were trying to tell you something. almost as if. Almost. But great one. Correlation doesn't equal causation. Don't you know borders are imaginary? The effects are complex, but worth mentioning. They're only complex to you because you're a fucking woman. The effects are complex, but worth mentioning, given that the use of antidepressants alone has skyrocketed in the United States. They are undeniably a potent factor that could affect the reproductive health and functionality of millions of women of childbearing age. What about the men of childbearing age? Not just women have children. You know, some men get pregnant. For somebody who's so in favor of trannies and non-binaries, this woman is very transphobic. Page 106, last two paragraphs. As you've seen, assuming they have healthy sperm to begin with, men are in the enviable position of having the chance to reestablish a clean slate, given that sperm are continually being produced in a process that takes 60 to 70 days. So if men improve their lifestyle habits, they can reset their sperm production. A woman's eggs don't have the opportunity to regenerate the way the sperm do. Instead, once they're fried, that's it. They're cooked, and the damage is irreversible. Yes, it is, girls. But once again, you want to pretend that when you're young, you can abuse yourself and abuse your body, and you can take all the drugs, and you can do your medications, and you can get your STDs, and you can be fat, and you can be unhealthy, and you can smoke dope, and you can drink, and all this other shit. And then when you're 40 years old, you can still have a baby. That's not how it is. But you see, you think that's the patriarchy because as much as you went on Facebook and clicked on the page, I fucking love science, you don't understand science. Everything to you is you being oppressed by men. Yes, sweetheart, you're born with the total number of eggs you're ever going to have in your fucking worthless life. And once you've fried them, you're done. It's called the wall, and it's real. Despite anything you saw Lauren Southern writing on Twitter, the wall is a real thing, and when your eggs slam into the wall, they scramble. And the wall is hot, and they cook. Why is the wall hot? From all the women slamming into it, there's so much friction. From all these women slamming into the wall and their eggs hit it, boom, and they just fry right up, sunny side up, bitches. You women are so goddamn dumb. You're so fucking, and then we've got the Republicans out there. Women should major in STEM. Right. Yeah, that's going to solve all of our fucking problems. All of this is to say, the highly hectic, pressure-packed lives many people lead, the highly hectic, pressure-packed lives many women lead because they bought into the Jewish propaganda of go to college, go into student loan debt, get a job, be in a cubicle, girl boss your way to the top, treat everybody around you like shit, never do anything nice for a man, every man wants to rape you, fish bicycle, appear to be taking a toll on their sex drives and fertility. Wait, women have sex drives? I hadn't noticed. Yes, it's taking a toll on women's sex drives and fertility. Yes, buying into the propaganda, coupled with not knowing where the vagina is, coupled with being on medication, coupled with your girl boss job, coupled with your debt, coupled with your fur babies, coupled with the fact that if a man so much as looks at you, you start screaming rape, coupled with your mental illnesses, coupled with your prescription medications, coupled with being fat, coupled with your tattoos, coupled with your piercings, coupled with your funny looking hair, coupled with the fact that you majored in something stupid, coupled with the fact that you're in a cubicle all fucking day sitting on your fat ass, coupled with the fact that you come home and you fucking watch Netflix and eat ice cream. Yes, honey, yes, it's taking a toll on your sex drive and your fertility. It sure is. It's hard to determine. No, it's not. It's not. It's not hard. It's hard for you to determine because you're a fucking woman. It's hard to determine whether decline stems primarily from altered hormone levels, increased stress levels, poor lifestyle choices, or other factors. Yes, it's all of them. It stems from the fact that women are not property. And so when you leave women to their own devices, they do stupid shit pretty much every moment of the day. Every choice they make is a bad one. Especially when not just that women are left to their own devices, but when women, after being left to their own devices, no matter what mistakes they make, they're excused from any responsibility or accountability for those mistakes. But one way or another, it's clear that modern life is having a chilling effect on people's reproductive health and well-being. Yes, yes it is. Page 108. Page 108, second full paragraph, third full paragraph, first, second. Here we go. now we're talking about chemicals. What's this chapter? He said that this chapter is the danger of plastics and modern chemicals, most of which are there for the convenience of women. One problem is women. No, one problem is the... Women are not one problem. Most women are so fat, they're two or three problems. I wish women were only one problem. We might be able to fucking do something with that if women were only one problem. One problem is the almost complete lack of regulation of these chemicals. Oh, you mean the government, there's all these laws. How many laws are there in the United States? And yet there's no regulation of these chemicals. What are all these laws for? Oh, that's right. It's about what kind of gun I can own. It's about all the forms you have to fill out to start a business. It's about the tax code. It's about how do we get money to Israel. But we don't have any laws about this, though. Dumping chemicals and pollution into the environment that fucks up people's biology, psychology, reproductive health, we ain't got time for laws about that. We got laws about global warming and recycling. Dumping chemicals that are known to fuck up people's bodies into the environment, we can't make any laws about that. We make laws about every fucking thing else, but not that. One problem is the almost complete lack of regulation of these chemicals. Unlike drugs, which must have a proven record of safety and efficiency. Right? Unless it's the Wuhan vax. Trust me, these drugs do the shit the pharmaceutical companies are pumping out at this point, there is no track record of safety and efficiency. Efficacy, not efficiency. Efficacy. I mean, this is just, again, if this was on the internet, I would not know if this was satire or serious. Unlike drugs, which must have a proven record of safety and efficacy before they're allowed to come to market, chemicals are largely presumed innocent from the start. True. They're considered safe until proven otherwise. That is true. This means manufacturers can use these chemicals in a wide array of consumer products with little oversight or restriction. It's a bit like the Wild West, lawless and untamed. No, it's a bit like a society run by women. Because men would look at this and go, man, look at that shit we're dumping into the river. That might be bad. But women, all they say, oh, there's a sale on shoes. Even decades after the 1976 talk, actually, some men wouldn't give a shit about dumping. But again, here's the difference, though. So if there's a man, he's dumping shit in the river, and you go up to him and say, hey, man, you're dumping a bunch of shit in the river. That might not be a good idea. This shit, I mean, look, the fucking frogs are turning gay. And he'd be like, I don't care. You would just shoot him. It's really that simple. Why can't we do that? Well, because of women. Again, if men actually ran the world, these things would be settled with violence, the way you settle things, right? Somebody's dumping shit in the river, you ask him to stop. He doesn't stop, you beat the shit out of him. He doesn't stop, you kill him. You challenge him to a fucking duel, and you shoot him. Oh no, we gotta be civilized for the benefit of women. Let's have some Zoom meetings and we can talk about it. And maybe we could introduce a law into Congress to regulate it. Even decades after the 1976 Toxic Substances Control Act was enacted, a few of the approximately 85,000 chemicals that have been produced for use in commercial... I'm going to take a drink of water and start that over. Take two. Good thing I'm not a thespian. Not a lesbian. Thespian. Thespian. Those are different. Although I am a lesbian, I'm a male lesbian, and I'm only attracted to volleyball girls. Even decades after the 1976 Toxic Substances Control Act was enacted, few of the approximately 85,000 chemicals that have been produced for use in commercial products, many of which have been identified as potential threats to human health, have even been tested, let alone banned or regulated. In the rare instances when chemicals are tested, the studies that are conducted don't usually protect human health because the protocols don't often address the effects of dosing nuances, high versus low, for example, or they don't consider the potentially cumulative or interactive effects these substances can have when they're mixed inside the human body. Oh, you mean like putting somebody on seven different medications? Those kind of things that, yeah, exactly. The point is, myriad chemicals that are used to manufacture a vast array of consumer products are largely unregulated, which means they continue to be on the market and we continue to buy them and bring them into our homes where they go into our bodies. Once they're on the market, these chemicals can enter our bodies in numerous ways, in the contaminated foods and beverages we ingest, in microscopic airborne particles we inhale, or in the products we absorb through our skin. Hey, just put a diaper over your face. If you wear a muzzle, I mean, if viruses can't get through it, surely the muzzle can also filter out chemicals, right? All right, page 112. Second full paragraph. On to the end on 114. Second full paragraph. Endocrine disrupting chemicals can also have profound effects on the developing brain in ways that can affect a person's gender and sexuality. Isn't it amazing how much these chemicals affect brains and ginger and sexuality? And yet, oh, non-binary people are so wonderful. You may have heard that the brain is the most powerful sexual organ. No, my dick is the most powerful sex. Sex therapists often say this because they're idiots and they want your money, and they will tell you stupid things that don't actually solve your problem so that you keep coming back for more therapy. Because if you went to a sex therapist and the sex therapist simply solved your problem and you started having sex, So, for example, the therapist would tell you, divorce your fat wife and get a younger, cuter, thinner girlfriend, then you wouldn't need to go back to the sex therapist because you'd be having sex. Right? Therapists don't fix problems. They don't make money like that. Oh, shit, did I give the game away? Sex therapists often say this because the brain is what activates sexual arousal and responsiveness. Well, here's an interesting twist. In 2014, my colleague Bernie Weiss, PhD, who is then a toxicologist at the University of Rochester, spoke in a different way about the brain as the biggest sexual organ of the in the body. He was referring to how certain environmental chemicals can alter brain function and behavior with different impacts on males and females. Wow, it's almost as if males and females are different, like biochemically different. It's not just what's between a person's legs that reflects his slash her slash their sex or gender. A scientist actually believes that there's people who are theys. Because women can't be scientists. I just have to keep saying it. The brain does too. Chemicals in our environment may influence not only the development of these sex-determining organs, but also the behaviors that are typically different in boys and girls. Well, that sounds very sexist. For example, boys tend to acquire spatial ability earlier, while girls... She explains what spatial ability is, because this is a book written for women. I'm not going to read to you her explanation of what spatial ability is, because you're a fucking man, and you know good and goddamn fucking well what spatial ability is, because you're not a fucking dumb bitch who thinks that the wall is imaginary. Boys tend to acquire spatial ability earlier, while girls never do, and that's why they can't fucking drive. Boys tend to acquire spatial ability earlier, while girls just talk all the fucking time and buy shoes. Okay, boys tend to acquire spatial ability earlier, while girls' language skills often develop at a younger age than boys do. This is because women start lying earlier than boys do, because this is how women get what they want, through social manipulation. Men get what they want through force, through overpowering the environment. A man wants a house. He goes out there, he finds a place, a flat place on the ground, you know, the thing that wouldn't exist without the roads and the government. And he says, I'm going to build a house here. Then he cuts down a tree with an axe. He overpowers the tree and he forces the tree into shape and he makes a log and then he stacks up some logs and he makes a wall and he builds a fucking house with force. A woman wants a house. She goes and she finds a man who has a house and she pretends to be nice to him and she has sex with him and she lies to him and he lets her live there until she finds a man with a better house. This is how women get what they want. Social manipulation, verbal skills. Men get what they want by doing things in the world, by utilizing their physical force to overcome the environment. That requires spatial abilities. None of this is a surprise if you're not a fucktard. My research and that of others has shown that higher exposure to some hormone-influencing chemicals can decrease male-female differences in these kinds of abilities. Once they're mobile, young children are particularly at risk of exposure to chemical-laden household dust because they crawl, play on the floor, and frequently put their hands in their mouths. Because their bodily systems are just developing, young children are less able to metabolize these chemicals than adults are. Even small exposures can add up. Once these chemicals enter our bodies at any age, they can be widely distributed throughout various systems from head to toe. How far they can travel in our bodies is truly astonishing. only to you, sweetheart, because you're a stupid bitch. Now remember, the WuVax, when they inject it into your arm, it's going to stay right there in your arm. It's not going to travel. You guys remember that, right? You remember hearing that lie about how it would stay in your arm? How far they can travel in our bodies is truly astonishing. In 2018, for the first time ever, microplastic particles, 9 different types, were found in human stool among volunteers from Finland, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, Italy, Poland, Russia, Japan, and Austria. This is not astonishing. Of course, the fucking microplastic particles are going to be in your shit. Guys, we're surrounded by plastic, which sheds microplastic particles. Your entire body is filled with microplastic particles. This is not news. Unless you're a woman who thinks you're a scientist. If you don't think you're exposed to these chemicals regularly, consider this. While writing their book, Slow Death by Rubber Duck, Canadian environmentalist Rick Smith and Bruce Laurie set up an experiment to examine how products that are commonly used in daily life alter the body's chemical burden using themselves as subjects. In the summer of 2008, Rick had called and asked me to serve as a phthalate expert. I don't know what the fuck that's supposed to mean. Doesn't matter. On their science experiment, review its protocol and results. Okay, guided by the principles, their exposure had to mimic those of real life. Rick and Bruce focused on chemicals of concern and identified activities that were likely to increase their exposure to these chemicals. Before the experiment began, they determined their personal baselines by having concentrations of these chemicals measured in samples of their blood and urine. I'm making a note. Give me 1 second. Okay, that was a lot of fluff. Let's get to the point. They designed a test room. The woman can't write. They designed a test room in Bruce's condo and stayed there in 12-hour shifts, exposing themselves to the test chemicals by applying personal care products, makeup, antiperspirants. I know this is a big one for some people. I can't believe you don't use antiperspirant. Guys, I haven't used antiperspirant in years. Why are you slathering some fucking chemicals on your fucking underarm? So I don't sweat. You realize that sweating is a natural biological function in response to heat, stress, you know, assorted other things. I'm gonna stick a cork in my asshole so I can't shit. If you make fun of women for wearing makeup and you use antiperspirant, well, you know, I get, the Jewish propaganda has convinced you. I can't leave the house without antiperspirant. I've been doing it for years. I mean, years and years and years and years and years. I might use antiperspirant. Like if I'm wearing a white shirt and I'm going to like an important business meeting, you know, I think I do. I have a container of antiperspirant. I can guarantee you I have not used it in at least 4 or 5 years. So if you want to make fun of the women for slathering chemicals on their face before you start throwing rocks, make sure you're not in a glass house. Okay? Exposing themselves to the test chemicals by applying personal care products, using antibacterial hand soap, eating canned or packaged foods. Who keeps telling you not to eat food that comes in plastic and cans? I don't know. drinking coffee. What do you mean, hey, get away from my coffee, motherfucker. Or canned soda, who keeps telling you stop drinking carbonated sugar water. And hanging out in the room where the carpet and the couch had just been protected with Stainmaster, which is designed to help materials resist stains. After 4 days, they collected more urine and blood samples and had them sent to a high-precision lab for analysis. While the levels of the test chemicals increased significantly from baseline to 4 days later, there was one standout, as Rick noted in the book. Quote, the really dramatic result was that as a result of my product use, my MEP, that's monoethyl sulfate levels, one of the levels that Shanna Swan has connected with male reproductive problems, went through the roof from 64 to 1,410 nanograms per milliliter, unquote. This was a direct result of smearing himself with scented toiletries, including hair care products, shaving gel, deodorant, fragrance, and lotions, as well as using scented liquid soap and plug-in scented oil in the test room. I do use lotion. You guys know that. I've talked about it. I've pimped for CeraVe lotion. So I slather chemicals on my body. I suppose I live in a glass house as well. I just don't live in a glass house putting fucking shit in my underarm pits. My chemicals. All right, hold on. I gotta organize my notes here. We're moving on to the second page of notes. We've made that much progress. Well, great one. What does that mean? That means that we are maybe 40% done with this. How many pages of notes do you have, great one? Well, I have three. Three pages of notes. One page down. Two to go. Page 123, right here. Right after 122. Footnote. What is this chapter about? Let me set the stage here. Hold on, let me back up. Oh, we're still the dangers of plastics and modern chemicals. Pharmaceutical drugs are likely lurking in our water supply. Wow. Is there anyone who has fucking told you over and over and over and over and over, like beating a fucking dead horse to get a goddamn water filter? Is there anyone who's told you this? You still haven't done it, have you? You still haven't done it. Don't fucking come crying to me for sympathy, guys. This is real fucking simple. It's easy. It's not that fucking expensive. Like, if you can't even do this, you're telling me that you just don't fucking care. If you don't have a fucking water filter, this is like a fat person trying to tell me about being healthy. If you don't have a water filter and you want to tell me anything at all about health, nutrition, you know, my chemicals, the Jews, whatever the fuck infestation you want to talk about, the WuVax, you don't have a water filter, shut the fuck up. Pharmaceutical drugs are likely lurking in our, they're turning the fucking frogs gay, okay? Lurking in our water supply because currently most municipal water treatment facilities are unable to remove them from drinking water. This means that we are consuming trace amounts of pharmaceutical agents, including analgesics, antibiotics, anticoagulants, antidepressants, antihistamines, hormones, muscle relaxant, blah, 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 and on and on and more in our tap water. In addition, chemicals from personal care products such as shampoos, conditioners, body washes, and lotions are also running down the drain into water treatment plants. Their chemical ingredients are not filtered out before they reach your tap, which means this is yet another way EDCs can get into your body. People have been saying, and yet, what is it that women are focused on? Global warming. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Global warming exists to distract people from what's real. This sort of stuff. Like, this stuff can be proven. These chemicals can be found and measured. Nobody can find and measure global warming. It would be nice to think that when a particular chemical is found to be harmful and others substituted for it during the manufacturing process, the problem is solved. But sadly, it doesn't always work out that way, since the chemicals that are substituted can have the same effect as the chemicals they're replacing. Duh. This pattern played out in the 1970s when DDT was thought to be a safe replacement for the pesticide lead arsenate, which was found to be neurotoxic. When DDT was also found to be neurotoxic, it was replaced with organophosphate pesticides, another class that also has neurotoxic effects that interfere with a child's brain development. Can we have a moment of sanity and logic? So we're trying to come up with a chemical that will kill insects but not be poisonous or dangerous to humans. Okay, insects are carbon-based life forms that evolved on the planet Earth. Humans are carbon-based life forms that evolved on the planet Earth. If you have a substance and it's toxic to insects, guess what? It's going to be toxic to humans. Now, you may need more of it to actually kill the human, but it's still going to have adverse effects on human biology. Hence, of course, caffeine. Or you go, didn't you know that caffeine is poison? Yes, caffeine is the plant's insecticide. And if you drink enough caffeine, you'll probably fucking die. Or you'll just turn into a neurotic, insane person like 75% of the female population. But this thing, well, let's find an insecticide that isn't going to hurt people. Moron. Once again, do you not this is like, we're going to find some fire that isn't hot. We're going to look for some water, but we don't want it to be wet or runny. If it kills insects, it will have an effect on humans. Again, it may take more to kill a human, but we're even if not to kill just a small amount may fuck up human biochemistry. Neurochemistry, who fucking knows? This thing, we need an insecticide that doesn't hurt humans. You're a goddamn idiot. There's no such thing. Fucking Christ. Oh, but I forgot. You fucking love science, right? You're a goddamn genius.